If you love the History Extra podcast, make sure you follow us to keep up to date and get all the latest episodes. Thanks for your support, and I do hope you enjoy this episode.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But you can't talk about Peterloo without discussing what it's about and why and what, you know, and so therefore maybe it's dangerous.
That was Mike Lee discussing his new film, Peterloo.
Listening to the History Extra podcast from BBC History Magazine. We're the UK's best-selling history magazine, available in print and several digital formats all over the world. Find out more at historyextra.com/subscribe or look out for us in your digital newsstand or app store.
Hello and welcome to the History Extra podcast. I'm Rob Attar, the editor of BBC History Magazine. Today's interview is with the award-winning writer and director Mike Lee, who is well known for films such as Secrets and Lies, Vera Drake and Mr. Turner. His latest film, released in the UK tomorrow, the 2nd of November, is Peterloo, which depicts the events of the 16th of August 1819, when a peaceful crowd demonstrating in favour of democratic reforms was aggressively broken up by militia, leading to several deaths and hundreds of injuries. Our staff writer Ellie Cawthorne met up with Mike in London recently to find out more about his new film and the history that inspired it.
So what was it about Peterloo that first captured your imagination and made you think this would make an amazing film?
Well, I read about it a long time ago, having grown up in Manchester and never having known about it at all, which lots of us from that part of the world didn't. And I remember thinking, I can't remember when I read this book about it, but I remember thinking this would make a somebody should make a film about this. But it never occurred to me that somebody might be me, because at that time I didn't think I would ever make a period film, because I, you know, was making those films that you know, which were contemporary. After we'd made Mr. Turner, I don't know how it just suddenly dawned on me, really, that this would be a good idea, not least because the bicentenary is coming up in 2019, next year. And it just felt that it would somehow be relevant. Now, as soon as we started working on it, almost on a daily basis, we found ourselves saying, ah, you know what, this is really relevant. And, of course, latterly, well into the time we were actually making it, given all the crazy, chaotic, irresponsible things that are now happening, it's become, you know, just given that it's a film about democracy and everything to do with those with power and those without power and so on, it's become even more prescient.
So the timeliness of it, the immediacy that we feel, wasn't actually part of the original appeal of it for you?
No, not particularly, no, other than the fact that, well, we're talking about 2013. I mean, it wasn't entirely irrelevant, but not as obvious as it now is.
You follow a vast cast of different characters, many of whom are based on real historical figures. Who were some of the people that you found most intriguing or enjoyed bringing to the screen the most?
Well, I mean, there's a much wider dramatis personae of characters that aren't in the film, because I've, you know, distilled it down. It's not a documentary, obviously. It's a dramatic film. I mean, obviously, there's a combination in the film of characters drawn from portraits of real people and some central fictitious characters, particularly the working class family, that, you know, they are that sort of, they're the, as it were, the common man element in the film.
So at the heart of the film are these really rousing speeches, particularly from Rory Kinnear as Henry Orator Hunt, who was one of the leaders of the reform movement. Why did you want to give them so much kind of emphasis in the film, because there's a lot of the speeches, and how do you go about recreating that kind of really remarkable speaking style?
Well, first of all, you can't make a film about a political movement that leads to a public expression of political aspiration and that involves political meetings without having those speeches. I mean, obviously, there was a point in the proceedings at which, you know, I had to say, well, you know, this film is going to have a lot of speeches. And I have to say, by the way, that only a couple of those are made by Hunt. There's a whole range of orators of one kind or the other, and indeed speeches of one kind or the other. Not all of them are made by orators. I mean, there's very verbose magistrates who are also clergymen. So you have to bite the bullet and say, that's what this is. So there's no point in, you know, saying, well, the audience might not find it boring. I always work on the assumption that the audience is intelligent, you know, but otherwise you're just patronising the audience and you ought to make a completely different sort of film. We took the source material. I mean, all of those speeches are there recorded in one form or another, either in the newspapers or people wrote their whole autobiographies and included every speech they made, or there are other sources too. And we took them and we, of course, did a massive amount of character work to bring those characters to life, working out how these people, what our interpretation of these characters would be. And putting those together, you then start to test how the speeches work. And of course, we then, you know, very, very rigorously distilled those speeches down and abbreviated them and edited them and changed them to integrate them in an organic way with the characters that we created. For me, what's interesting is that, for example, the radicals, the young working class radicals who are finally, as they were, bagged up in prison to keep them out of the way. These were guys that, don't forget, there was no education then, no state education. These were either self-taught or they'd learnt to read and write in Sunday school. And they stand up and make these speeches. Not only are they articulate and literate, but they're quoting the classics, they're quoting the Greeks, you know. They were hungry for education. They would get out of the time machine if you brought them here and be horrified at the way in which we have education and we don't, and we eschew it. Worse than that, they would be, I mean, all those 60, 80, 100,000 people who were at Peterloo, if they got out of that time machine to discover that we have the vote, the very thing they were protesting for, and some of them lost their lives for, we have the vote and we don't use it, they would be disgusted. And I think it's disgusting too.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
You're well known, of course, for developing your scripts using an improvisation process. But what extra challenges does a historical setting bring to that, especially one based on real events?
Well, of course, it isn't the first time I've done it. There have been two previous films, Topsy Turvy, which was about the Victorian musical theatre, and Mr. Turner, which is about the great painter. Well, you know, here's the thing. You can read in books till it comes out of your ears, what happened. But it doesn't make it happen in front of the camera. You've got to bring it to life. And bringing it to life is more than just what they said or something. You know, you've got to actually, you know, it's got to happen in a real way. And that involves making characters organic and three-dimensional. And it's all the space between words, and it's the things that, you know, I mean, like, you and I are sitting in this room, in this building, in the West End at this moment, and, you know, on the face of it, we're just having a conversation which some people would call an interview, which the object of which is for you to record it. But actually, what's motivating this is all kinds of other massive things. I don't know what you've been doing for the last 24 hours or the last 24 years, or, you know, what you're going to do tonight and what you did last night and all those things, but they all bear on this conversation. All those things are motivating, you know what I mean? And I don't know what you had for lunch, but et cetera, et cetera. So all of those things involve character, improvisation, time, space. And then if you've got to integrate historical facts and things, that's part of it. And you simply assimilate those things, absorb them, stitch them into the narrative and so on.
Why do you think that Peterloo isn't better known about today?
Henry VIII had six wives. Very interesting. You could analyse that in terms of sexual politics, if you choose to. You could have a healthy Republican discussion about the ludicrousness of the monarchy. Or you can just teach it like they do in school and say, well, Henry VIII had six wives, full stop. It doesn't demand necessarily much in the way of how it relates to the average school child's life. But you can't talk about Peterloo without discussing what it's about and why and what, you know. And so therefore maybe it's dangerous in some way.
Because it's almost too relevant. It's not just history.
Correct.
Are there any other historical topics that you would like to turn your directorial eye to?
I can't answer that because there may be, but that's not really a question with an answer, you know.
You have worked on this and on Mr. Turner with historical consultant Jacqueline Riding.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could just tell me a bit about the process of working with her and kind of what she brings to the project.
Working with her, first of all, every film I've ever made, including all the contemporary ones, research has played a part in it. Even if you're talking about, you know, this person has a job, and the actor's going to go out and find out how to do that job, you know, so there's always research. When it comes to historical research, you know, I'm not an academic, I'm a storyteller. I have to have somebody who can get out there and read the material and select the material and point me and indeed everybody else involved in directions and lead us to what to read and you know, not send us the whole book, but pull out the stuff, make it digestible and explain, you know, and put us in touch with experts who we can talk to and so on and so on. Even like, you know, the film has a very brief scene right at the beginning of the Battle of Waterloo. Well, we had some Waterloo experts, of whom there were quite a lot kicking around, you know, to help us with that, you know. You have to have somebody who is not only is a historian, but lives in the world and knows and has the techniques and the technology to access material, who can wander into the British Library and know where to go and how to deal with it, and go to the National Archive at Kew and do the same thing, and so on and so forth. So it's a sort of, apart from the fact that someone like Jacqueline Riding, and Jacqueline Riding in particular, has this, sense of the dramatic and of an ability to understand the acting process and the and what I'm doing, and she's very much on the film set and part and parcel of the proceedings. You couldn't do it without such a person. Not possible.
I think when we see this era on screen, a lot of the time it's the ballrooms of Austin, or it's Wellington versus Napoleon. What do you think, firstly, about the way that period drama is kind of perceived? And also, do you think that films like Peterloo and the great reception they've had show that period drama needs to start taking working class characters seriously?
What are films like Peterloo? I'd like to know which other films come under the heading of films like Peterloo. I don't want to be arrogant, but I think in the context of your question, Peterloo is unusual in the sense that it doesn't. It is not concerned in any shape or form with making anything sexy. It's not concerned with being glossy or, in a sense, bowdlerising or romanticising or sugaring the pill or any of those things, because life is quite interesting enough without shying away from it, really. So, implicitly, in saying that, I am making comments about other kinds of films, really.
That was Mike Lee. As I mentioned earlier, Peterloo is released in UK cinemas tomorrow, Friday the 2nd of November. In the US, it's due to be released next spring. And if you'd like more on the historical context of Peterloo, then do check out the interview we did with Jacqueline Riding, who was historical consultant on the film. It featured in our last episode on Monday, the 29th of October. And meanwhile, look out for an article on Peterloo in the December issue of BBC History magazine, which is on sale now. Also in this month's issue, there are articles on Walter Raleigh, the Vietnam War, King Arthur, letters from World War II leaders, and Napoleon, as well as a whole lot more. Look out for it in all good retailers now and on many digital formats. And that's about it for today, but please do listen in again in a few days' time for more from the world of history.
Thanks for listening to this History Extra podcast, which was produced by Jack Fletcher. Do let us know what you think about this episode by emailing podcast@historyextra.com, and we might read out your messages in future editions. Alternatively, why not keep in touch via Twitter or Facebook, where you'll find us at History Extra. For more great history content, don't forget to visit our website, historyextra.com, which is full of history articles, quizzes, image galleries, and more. Plus, it's where you can download hundreds of previous episodes of this podcast.